Good morning, LinkedIn friends, Value First Nation. Welcome to another episode of Value First AI Daily, your collaborative AI intelligence report. Happy Thursday, August 21st, 2025. Sounds like we might be done with the show, Nico. I've heard that the AI is no big deal and it's just a bubble and it's all an illusion. So maybe we're done here. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah. There's a lot of that. I don't quite know where it's coming from. Well, I think I know where it's coming from. I think I know that, you know, AI is really the only investment sector that was, and in my opinion, I'm just going to ignore Wall Street for a minute, that AI is the only sector that there is any sort of forward movement in. I will say that despite Palantir's performance, which seemingly is the only thing that is weighing all of this down. If you haven't seen the news that's plastered everywhere, as a result of the Fed having to make some decisions this week and Jerome Powell saying that more than likely he's going to pull back on things, maybe they might drop rates. It's the same game every quarter. I don't know. Doesn't matter. So, you know, they're going back and forth. Where's it going to go? Is it going to be, you know, stagnant economy? Is it not? You know, they are finally, one of the things that they are taking into account is the fact that there's like rapid job loss. And at the same time, there is rapid non-hiring out of college. So that's creating this like black hole of, you know, job non-growth. And that is putting pressure on companies to essentially, well, it's putting pressure from Wall Street on companies to show us the money that you're gaining supposedly because of all of this, right?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, practically every single leader who has deployed AI in the meaningful ways in which you are supposed to, which is well above the 5%. Okay. I know exactly where the number's coming from. I know exactly who started the number. And that person, I don't know. There's a special place down south for you. That's all I can say. And realistically, it's one guy. One guy who owns a hedge fund who does what for a living? Buys swaps. And what did he do? Scream from the rooftops that the sky is falling. And for whatever reason, everyone's listening to this one dude who has zero background in AI technologies, zero background in buying into AI technologies, nothing. This dude just bets against the market all day long. Okay. So that's basically what's happening, and because of which now there's all these just surprise studies of, oh, well, AI is not actually adding to anything, and there's people are not effectively rolling it out, and businesses aren't effectively using it, and there's no ROI on this stuff. I know there isn't, because it's not a product. You don't sell it. You use it as part of what you do. So the ROI is in your capability. Like, you will just make more money. That's what's been happening. Every company. So here's what I love to do, right? My brother almost bought into the same thing. He's like, well, what do you have to say about this guy? And like, he's saying, and look at the market and everything. And I was like, look, even though I know this stuff, it is what it is. Fine. We'll go to the sources. Went to Perplexity and was like, hey, here's what's happening. This is what people are saying. what are the odds on this stuff? Like, why, you know, is it actually something that's like worth, you know, caring about, or are people just, you know, overblowing this thing? And even Perplexity was like, look, there might be short-term speculation, but long-term, it's not going anywhere, and it's only going to gain, right? Like, it's, if you listen to Jensen, if you listen to Sam, if you listen to Dario, all these guys, this is the first time we have ever had a utility technology, which means that the technology being built underlies everything else around it. Okay. There's physical AI. What's physical AI? That's AI that's specifically trained on human physical tasks, like Helix for Figure 1, or Figure 2, rather. Figure used to run OpenAI, same way as Boston Dynamics. Boston Dynamics sucks now, right? They're still using robots with grippers that can, like, flimsily throw stuff from one bin to another, where, you know, Helix is folding towels nicely and putting them away and doing your laundry for you, right? So difference between brain AI, right, that has read about doing things, right? We talk about these types of people all the time, that people you can read about doing something, and that's very different than actually doing the thing, right? There's car AI. That's going to become a thing very soon. There's a company I was just looking at this morning. That company is just going to be forever monies, because they are building the underlying technology for whatever future self-driving car companies, which I got to tell you, there's a lot of them. Most people are not looking at the landscape and understanding that less people with a lot of AI are building businesses that are competitive to massive companies out there right now. And they're doing it with very little effort.
Yeah. Probably not in the group of 150 leaders that MIT talked to. Yeah, this is like all of the warnings about not seeing it as a tool, not as a software. Like, this is the problem with SaaS, in my opinion. Like, and why it cannot be viewed this way as a product, like you mentioned. Like, this is not something that somebody else can do for you and then just deliver and fix your shit, mm-hmm. right? Like, you, it's infrastructure. What's the ROI of your building?
Yeah.
Like, the ROI of all of the utilities, like, that's where, because of where it's coming from, SaaS and Silicon Valley, like, we cannot think of it in terms of the operational infrastructure of the business. Like, RevOps has this problem. Like, mm-hmm. this is, and it just aligns so well with all the things we've seen, you know, in HubSpot. And at the end of the day, this is the problem of digital transformation. Like, you think that all this stuff, like, you're supposed to transform your business, and you're looking for ROI out of that. Like, that's not how it works. And that's where we, like, a couple years ago, and was it Chase or, you know, one of the big banks came out and study $8, mm-hmm. $8 mm-hmm. back for every $1,
minimum three,
right? It's like the people who execute this well.
And that's,
and the math works. Like, I think what's happening here is that there is a Sam Altman
made a little blip. It's
created a window. Jensen
did the same thing,
right? Where it's like everybody that's been fearing and, you know, bucking the change and not appreciating what's happening, they've been looking for this moment, and they're like, "Yes, this is it. This is it." Everybody hates this new model. We're going all in. And by the time they even start writing the news stories, the vibe has already started changing on GPT-5. People are starting to understand exactly what we said would happen. Both sides starts to get trained. That's how this works. Like, how many times are we going to have to go through this? Oh, but it's SaaS. It's Silicon Valley. It's like, can we just, like, we want to just be able to deliver this stuff deal with all the irrational human stuff. And like, it just doesn't work.
We didn't see We've been through something like this, but only white collar went through this. So it wasn't really, it didn't affect enough people for enough people to pay attention. And especially like when it came to government and late adoption, like there's no tomorrow, computers, right? Computers became the underlying infrastructure to business. And I don't know that anyone has bothered to stop to measure how much more efficiency has been gained, even over the years of upgrading computers in the office, right? Because companies hate doing that. They hate having to physically upgrade the system, which makes no sense to me because guess what? Every time we're on the other end of your system, the first person complaining about how slow it is the person using it. I remember it like yesterday, back in the late 90s, it would be the customer sitting there, oh my God, take it forever. Now it's the user, it's your employee complaining to me about your shitty system, right? So you upgrade that, you save the employee, whatever the amount of time is, 3-5 minutes, whatever. They hate having to make us wait, right? And that's because they live in a world that's faster than the machine that they have to use.
Right.
So they are able to operate faster. Their quality of life goes up a little bit more. They care a little bit more. Not they care a little bit more about doing their job, but they're not quite as upset about having to do it. I was watching Fallout again recently, and this hits right on the head because there's a character in there, and the main character's brother. And he gets to a point where he's just very, almost like the dude from Idiocracy, just like full melancholy across the board. Like nothing really affects him, but he's not really motivated about anything. No job really interests him any more than any other. He finds everything equally boring. And to me, it's very much like along the same, I don't know why, but I just see it being like along the same lines, right? Where, I don't know why people don't understand that the more you increase quality of life, the more like you help somebody actually like what they're doing, right? So this character finally like finds something that they actually enjoy doing. And all of a sudden, like, okay, it's cool to be part of the colony again, right? Whereas before they were like pretty much on the edge of like, yeah, I should just get out of here, go somewhere else, right? Now that, different story about what they found that made them, but it doesn't matter. Point is, increasing quality of life is what matters. Altman's talked about that, right? In the sense of like, just electricity in and of itself as an invention has increased the quality of life of humanity tremendously, right? Especially when it comes to healthcare, most especially when it comes to healthcare. So this in relation to your business, right? Just all I can tell you is all of you guys that are concerned that your leaders, all of you founders, all of you owners, CEOs, if you're concerned, look at the numbers. Just look at the numbers. Like even us at Harvest, like we're killing it right now. We're absolutely killing it, right? And it's because of efficiencies, right? Because of where we're able to actually cut things back. And things that used to take like 4 hours now take like an hour. Things that, you know, other stuff that used to take whatever, 2-3 hours, stuff that used to take a day now takes 30 minutes. Right? You can't measure, like if you're trying to measure the money of that, if you're an hourly business, that should be pretty easy for you, right? You should be able to very quickly understand the thousands of dollars you just saved by doing that.
Yeah.
Does it show on your bottom line or whatever? Yeah, probably at the end of the quarter, or whatever, at the end of the month.
Should. Right.
Yeah, it should. But that's the thing is it will if you like the efficiency is there. But if you don't increase the amount of business, then you're not maximizing on it. Right. And the only way you can maximize on that is by actually being of any value at this point. Right. Because now everybody has the same level of efficiency. So it's a matter of like, were you actually providing value in the first place?
Right.
Or were you just another like fake it till you make it? Cause you can be a fake it till you make it company every bit as much as you can be a fake it till you make it employee.
Yeah. And this is where like the grind comes in too. Like you can overcome, you have been able to overcome a lot of dysfunction in your systems and processes when great people just show up every day to get the job done. And that's where that is wholly inefficient. And if mm-hmm. you can't transform out of that, the new start, the new people coming up, like Harvest is, I think, a great example. They have an AI enablement, like prioritization mentality, so that when these old systems, these old infrastructure, and again, like this is not a coincidence that this is the foundation of Value First and why I started working on it. Like, it doesn't matter how much money you spend on AI if people are still typing in their emails manually. And they're not going to just automatically trust AI to do that for them. And when they have no enablement around them and nobody actually helping with this, they're going to try one time. It's going to be awful. And mm-hmm. then they're going to go back to typing it out every time. And that's where you're not measuring that part, because you're looking for it to just magically do other things that you've never been able to do, right? Meanwhile, again, this comes back to the lack of CRM adoption, the lack of digital transformation. It can't solve for those things because those things are not the fault of the digital systems or the CRM.
Mm-hmm.
Never have been, right? And if leaders can't create the space, like Value First is all about creating new infrastructure and spaces and mindsets to let this stuff come in and help, because it's mind-blowingly ROI positive when you actually get down to it. But this is the whole reason I don't like talking about ROI of systems. I don't like time saved. Like, we don't have any actual perception of that. We're terrible at measuring it consistently across teams, across individual employees, across tools,
mm-hmm.
right? And we find the stuff that we're comfortable with. We're comfortable with the risk and knowing what the outcome is going to be. So we will learn QuickBooks and hate every minute of it, but we know we got to do it. So you have leaders that have learned QuickBooks and these accounting systems that are so challenging. And then we try to show them HubSpot and they're like, I don't have time for that. Like, bullshit, you don't have time for that, right? This is actually could be the most powerful thing that you engage with on a daily basis. And that's like, I feel strongly talking about that because that's been my HubSpot message for years now. AI is like 100x that.
Right.
Right. But if you're still of the mind of like, I'm comfortable doing all these things because I know them and don't bring any uncertainty my way, it's not going to work. And when I see that number of billions of dollars, like, nobody should be surprised. But like the little sentence at the end, by the way, not the fault of the AI models. It's like, obviously, right. It's the learning programs. It's all the things we know, right? We suck at communication, suck at training people, suck at caring. Like, I saw a slide yesterday, and this is where, wow, it was frustrating. I'm sure he's not watching this or listening anyways. But this session yesterday about AI, and I saw this slide of industrial age, information age. And then it was referred to this age as the automation age. All right, right there. That's intelligence age is what this is, right? And that is a huge, huge point of view difference between automation and intelligence and what we're trying to accomplish, right? And it was likened to like the information age, companies still have not transitioned into that. Right? They're still in industrial mode and they still don't understand the current contract with employees, which is no longer I pay you, so you should do the job and be happy about it.
Right.
Like, what, why do I have to provide anything else, like purpose and meaning and safe environments? And like, they still haven't gotten there. So surprise, AI is trained on how important that stuff is too. So it's like, that's where it will bend to your will, but it's going to bend to your same shitty results that you've been getting for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And you're going to spend a lot of money and time doing that. And it's just, of course it's not working.
I don't know. There's really nothing else to throw on top of that, to be honest with you. Like, it's been such a long time that even I've watched people in corporate just, the only way I could describe it is like die by the wayside. The description of corporate America for the longest time has been soul sucking, right? The number one thing that most businesses talk about, even in the partner ecosystem, revolving door turnover rate. You know what the most, like one of the highest costs to a business is? Turnover rate.
Oh yeah.
It's insanely high cost, right? Because you have to keep, you have to keep recruiting going like constantly, like even harder than normal, right? So you probably end up hiring more recruiters, spending more money on recruiting, spending more money on whatever packages and stuff you're trying to put together, right? And realistically, it ends up being signs of desperation, right? That's the thing. It's like a lot of the companies that are doing AI hiring, even like LinkedIn and stuff like that, there's now basically counter companies that are like basically like Monster, but it's like AI driven. And they're pretty magnanimous because of the fact that they weed through, whether you want it or not, like they'll weed through all the jobs that are, you know, via headhunters. If you want something that's like directly from the place, you know, at something that actually has less than, you know, whatever 20, 30 people that's applied to it, like the tech that they're employing into this stuff. And at the same time, user feedback, right? And it's not from people who are like upper management. It's all people who have either worked there or previously worked there or whatever it might be, all built into like this one holistic system, right? That is almost like LinkedIn, but without all the BS and the advertising and shameless plugs and all that kind of stuff, right? So yeah, it's going to change. It's changing already, and it's just going to continue to do that. And it's going to continue to change to the employee's favor. Like the employee is going to become more like powerful now than like ever before, right? It's like I've been saying all week. And when I tell people this, they understand, like most people understand it immediately because I don't think there's a better visual than this, but like I wake up every day like Mickey Mouse in Fantasia, right? I've got Comet over here. I've got Replit over there. I've got Windsurf over here. I've got Visual Studio over there. You know, whatever system I'm using, even if I'm in HubSpot, that I'm using some automation tool in HubSpot, like there's really nothing. I try my best at this point to stay away from platforms where I actually have to put my hands on keys.
Yep.
Like if I can't dictate and tell it what to do, it's already weird to me.
Yeah. And the crazy thing is like leaders, you've been wanting this for a long time. Like, don't make me go into HubSpot. Don't make me look dashboards ready for you. I still can't even click on that link. Right. Like I had a great chat with Emerson McCune yesterday. Mm. He was showing me what he's done via HubSpot, his own HubSpot MCP, right. That he had to build. Right. But when his leader says, can I just see this stuff in Slack? Like for real, dude. Yep. Here's the report. Exactly. The information that you want in the format that you want it in. And if you got questions, you can now ask questions directly in that chat. It's what every leader has always wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And it can happen now. Right? What's the ROI on that? What's the ROI on you having infinite visibility whenever you want it? Right? Faster decision making, like opportunity generation, opportunity realization, all those things. Like, and they're never going to connect that to this infrastructure layer.
Right.
Right. And that's where you got to have in that situation I just described, what's required? A leader who asks for it, a RevOps leader that can set it up,
mm-hmm.
the data, right? The data in a place where you can actually query in that way, and it'll come back with clean data.
Mm-hmm.
Value First Data Summit next week, folks, August 28th, right?
Listen.
The context, this is what we, like AI context engineers, all the, like, just this contextual situation that most companies cannot get to because they have never adopted CRM properly, or they've never digitally transformed. They still have paper processes that AI will never be able to see. Like, and, but yeah, that's why I hate the ROI conversation, time saving, like all the usual stuff that SaaS has gone to forever.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, how many times do people just have to not come into your system for you to be aware that nobody gives a shit about those value props, right? In reality. And that's where AI doesn't either. Nope. It's just going to default to the most efficient, like most value creating way possible.
Yep.
And that's where, like, again, coming back to when I first started talking to Claude, and I said, what would it look like if there were no sales, if there were no marketing, that, like, this whole infrastructure of business, what would it look like if you built it from scratch? And it was like natural value flow at all costs. And I didn't even understand it. Like, I was like, okay, I know we're getting somewhere because I have no idea what you're talking about right now. But that's it. Like, understand how value flows and do everything in your power not to slow it down, not to stop it. And basically everything we do in industrial infrastructure tries to throttle it and control it so that we can monetize it and manage people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what AI is built to do. Right?
Nope.
So we're going to keep banging the drum. If it's not clear, we're not ending the show. We're going to keep going every day. because AI is here. It is the best thing since sliced bread. And we're going to beat you over the head with it until you get on board.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's going to help us do that. So
watch out.
Whenever you're ready, you know, you can start next week at Value First Data Summit, August 28th. We'd love to have you there. That's one thing you can control amongst all these other things that we talk about, you letting go. Like, don't let go of that part. You can control your data. You can control the context that the system has. We're going to help you do that with 20 some other experts next week. Super excited how that's coming together.
And it's all day long, so you don't have any excuse in terms of, I wasn't able to make it because I had XYZ meeting at some time.
Yeah. All the stuff will be on demand. Just sign up. It'll be worth your while. Guaranteed. So until tomorrow, my friend. See you next time.